From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo calls on other states to join him in fighting the NRA. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the governor and whether his current Democratic challenger Cynthia Nixon has pushed him to the left. Newburgh officials are suing a number of parties concerning PFOS contamination found in the city's water supply. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo made the rounds of the national news programs this week now that he has become the target of a lawsuit by the National Rifle Association. Cuomo, a gun control advocate, is asking other states to join him in fighting what he says is an extremist organization. The NRA says it's Cuomo who has a political vendetta against the group that could lead to its demise. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Cuomo, in 2013, convinced the state legislature, shortly after the Sandy Hook, Connecticut school shooting, to pass a gun control measure that became known as the SAFE Act. It requires stricter regulation of the sale of firearms and bans assault weapons in New York. The governor spoke about it in his State of the State speech that year.
No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer. And too many innocent people have died already.
Cuomo earned the enmity of some Second Amendment rights advocates, largely from upstate. But the measure has gained support among New Yorkers over the years, with polls showing the majority of residents support it, even among those who live north of New York City. In 2018, facing a primary challenge on the left from actor and education advocate Cynthia Nixon for his run for a third term, Cuomo is proudly owning a new dispute that's developed between the state and the NRA. The NRA claims recent actions by the Cuomo administration amount to a blacklisting of the organization and could even force it into bankruptcy. The State Department of Financial Services, or DFS, in May declared illegal an insurance policy offered by the NRA known as CarryGuard. The DFS says the policy unlawfully provided liability insurance to gun owners for certain acts of intentional wrongdoing, including criminal defense when a gun owner or any of their family members in their household claim self-defense when they kill or injure someone with a gun. The policies included coverage for bail money and attorney's fees. Cuomo spoke about it on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
And this insurance product was called Carry Guard. It was designed for people who carry weapons, and it basically insured them for an intentional bad act. The expression was murder insurance.
The financial services agency also fined locked-in companies, which administered the Carry Guard policy in New York, $7 million because the NRA does not have a license to conduct insurance business in the state. Locked-in agreed to no longer sell the policies in New York. The NRA, within days, launched a lawsuit. It claimed that the DFS ruling was attempting to deprive the NRA and its constituents of their First Amendment rights to speak freely about gun-related issues and defend the Second Amendment. In new legal papers filed in late July and first reported by the New York Law Journal, the NRA says the ruling has had a domino effect, and since then, several financial institutions have ended their business dealings with the group. The organization says if it can no longer sell the insurance policy and earn profits from the product, it will hobble the multi-million-dollar group and hamper its advocacy work, including its NRA TV division. The lawsuit also accuses Cuomo of going after the NRA for political purposes, saying the governor is an opportunist who has consistently sought to gain political capital by attacking the NRA. There's some skepticism that the gun group could really be as badly financially harmed as it claims in the suit, but Cuomo is taking them at their word for now. His campaign has produced a digital ad that mocks the standard response by some gun rights advocates whenever a mass shooting takes place.
I'm tired of hearing the politicians say, we'll remember them in our thoughts and prayers. If the NRA goes away, I'll remember the NRA in my thoughts and prayers.
He's also sent out fundraising emails to donors, asking them to contribute to support his efforts to end the NRA's stranglehold. Cuomo sent a letter to the governors of other states, asking them to examine their laws to see if a similar insurance policy is being sold in their state, and urging them to block the sale of that and other NRA-related products. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, this week, Chris Collins, Western New York representative, a Republican. He pleaded not guilty to federal insider trading charges. The congressman was arrested earlier in the day on charges he shared non-public information with family and friends related to an Australian biotech company, Innate Immunotherapeutics, on which Collins served as a board member. It also involved receiving this information while on the White House lawn.
A board member and a major investor in all of this. Now, to be clear, Collins took a real loss on this. But if he called his son, which is what the allegation is, and the son told the potential in-laws, not yet but soon, and everybody unloaded, then you have what is called classic insider trading. In other words, you're not supposed to tell other people what the public doesn't know, and that's what the allegation is. Now, who's the charge being brought by? Ooh, the mean old Trump-appointed U.S. attorney bringing these charges and saying the law is the law. Whoa! Is that beyond personal loyalty, which is why, of course, the former FBI head was fired? So now we have the Republican-appointed guy bringing this against the congressman, the first congressman who lauded and, of course, said that Trump should be president of the United States, and he's going to vigorously defend himself. Well, apparently they got the goods, they got the phone logs, they got the rest of it, and he's in a little bit of trouble here. It's a safe seat, obviously. It's a Republican seat. He should be able to take it, and he may well take it. Hey, Dick Nixon got elected a second time after Watergate was out there. So anything can happen. We can see it, and we've seen it again and again.
Democratic gubernatorial challenger to Governor Andrew Cuomo, Cynthia Nixon. She was asked, Alan, whether she smokes pot. She says, I do not. I tried it twice when I was in college. It wasn't for me, but I promised a number of people that when we legalize it in New York, I will give it another shot. Of course, her campaign, even if she doesn't win, seems to have also pushed the governor to the left on this issue.
Oh, there's no question. He was not chomping at the bit to legalize marijuana, but it's a very popular issue. And there are more and more people who are discovering, David, benefits from marijuana and from its extracts that help people in great pain. And from my perspective, there are just no two ways about it. Now, recreational marijuana, I think it's still on trial. I think the real question is it going to become like alcohol, in which it has to be somehow tested when people crash into each other on the roads? But of course, we do have alcohol, and it's legal. And, you know, proponents of recreational marijuana say, okay, if you could do it with one drug like alcohol, why can't you do it with another? And you'll just have to control it. That makes a certain amount of sense.
NRA suit claims Cuomo's blacklisting has cost it millions of dollars. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced, Alan, that the state is moving to dismiss a lawsuit by the NRA filed in federal court in May, which he calls frivolous. The lawsuit accuses state officials of blacklisting the gun rights organization. Basically, Governor Cuomo says, bring it on.
Well, I would say the same thing if I were him. I mean, what are his choices? Cuomo is entitled to free speech. The NRA is responsible for a good deal of what's going on with the guns in America. The gun manufacturers make major contributions to the NRA. I don't see how this suit goes forward. I think that it is frivolous, at least it appears that way to me, but I'm not a lawyer.
You spoke to the Democratic candidate in the race for the 19th district held by Republican John Faso, that seat right now, and your thoughts this morning on your conversation with Antonio Delgado.
Well, he's a very bright guy. You know, we're talking about a Rhodes Scholar. We're talking about Harvard Law School. We're talking about a guy who is truly committed to social activism, who grew up in a middle-class family. His opponents have been trying to label him as from out of the district. He lived in Schenectady. He was born and raised in Schenectady. His wife comes from Woodstock. That's going to be a hard thing to be able to put onto him. It is a purple district. There's no question about it. He knows he's in the fight of his life, and he's impressive. You know, this is a guy who has been named to the Upstate Basketball Hall of Fame, and he is a guy who loves that game of basketball. And when you get in there with all those elbows and all those people throwing everything at you that they can, you're not going to be out of it. You're going to be involved vertically from the top to the bottom. And that's what he is. He's an impressive guy. His opponents have tried to label him as a rapper and the rest of it. That's all nonsense, of course, because rap is no more than poetry. And he has shown himself to be a man who really is concerned with the plight that this country is in. I think he's going to be a very formidable candidate. We'll have to see whether he can win.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Officials in Newburgh, New York, are suing a number of parties concerning PFOS contamination found in the city's water supply from Washington Lake more than 2 years ago. The city wants to be reimbursed for costs associated with the contamination, and it wants the contamination cleaned up. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn explains.
The lawsuit filed Monday follows a notice of intent to sue from February. The suit seeks to stop PFOS contamination of the city's water supply, as well as other chemicals under the same PFAS umbrella. New York State has already determined that PFOS originated at Stewart Air National Guard Base and Stewart International Airport, and has found some of the highest concentrations of PFOS from outfalls at the base. Newburgh Mayor Torrence Harvey.
We want to hold people accountable for what has happened to the city residents of Newburgh. We want to make sure that punitive damages are paid out.
The city is suing the U.S. Air Force, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which operates New York Stewart International Airport, New York State, and manufacturers of firefighting foam. In August 2016, the state designated Stewart Air National Guard Base a Superfund site after finding the source of PFOS contamination in Washington Lake was the historic use of firefighting foam at the base. Harvey says the suit also seeks compensation for water bills.
You know, when our water was contaminated, it's been contaminated for a number of years, and people pay for bad water in the city of Newburgh. So there has to be some sort of compensation for that. We want to set up a water rebate fund through our state and federal government.
The city is asking the court to find the defendants liable for the extensive contamination and require the cleanup of the city watershed, among other actions. Spokespeople for the U.S. Air Force and the Port Authority declined to comment on pending litigation. A spokesperson for New York State did not respond in time for this broadcast. Tamsin Hollow is with the Newburgh Clean Water Project.
Well, we're glad to see the city of Newburgh fighting for its residents, but at the same time, we're urging the city, the county, state, and federal agencies to participate in a highly transparent process to protect our water, which would address the entire class of PFAS chemicals, not just PFOS, and would prevent all contaminants entering our watershed, including new developments proposed by the town of Newburgh, which would directly affect the quality of our water supply.
Meantime, a state-funded $25 million filtration system for the city has been constructed, but is not online. In July, State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos said testing protocols were being worked out and was confident the system would protect city residents. Hollow and others have voiced concern about the ability of the system to catch PFAS chemicals beyond PFOS. The city continues to draw water from the Catskill Aqueduct, but, says Harvey, this source is about to be unavailable for 10 weeks, beginning October 2nd.
We're going to be drawing down from Browns Pond for the 10 weeks starting in October when the Catskill Aqueduct is offline for its repair. And I'm being told that we have enough water to hold us through that time period.
Newburgh City Manager Michael Caravino says that's unless the town of New Windsor also uses Browns Pond during the 10-week shutdown period. Caravino says the city will not use Washington Lake water during the shutdown of the aqueduct because of the ongoing contamination of the watershed, inadequate treatment, and lack of standards. He says the city has been forced to use taxpayer dollars to engineer solutions to ensure it has an adequate supply of clean water from its secondary water supply, and that's Browns Pond. In June, New York State sued six manufacturers of hazardous firefighting foam that contained PFOA and/or PFOS. The lawsuit alleges that the foams used at military and civilian airports caused widespread contamination, as in the case of Newburgh.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Governor Andrew Cuomo recently announced that a group consisting of New York State government and law enforcement officials, advocates, and academics has been appointed to draft legislation for regulating recreational marijuana. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports.
The Democrat said the 20-member group will be led by his counsel, Alfonso David, who will also serve as liaison between the governor's office and stakeholders as the state formulates a program for a regulated marijuana market. The state health department found in a recent report that while legalizing marijuana would have some pitfalls, it would open up millions in new revenue. Albany County District Attorney David Soares conducted a listening tour in June, gathering public input on marijuana laws and regulations in anticipation of changing laws. During the Gilderland stop on the tour, Soares touched on tax revenue.
According to the City of New York Comptroller, currently we have an illicit economy of marijuana that brings in $3 billion. In New York City alone, tax revenue flowing from that kind of economy would generate $400 million in New York City alone.
Cuomo, a Democrat like Soares, in the past had opposed legalization, often referring to marijuana as a gateway drug. As attitudes about marijuana evolve, law enforcement officials like Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple have been closely watching, considering how to best accommodate changes that seem sure to come, as in neighboring states and Canada.
I don't staunchly oppose this, first of all, mainly because it seems to be the growing trend. It seems to be that states around us are legalizing it. I think we would be foolish to not look at this. Some of our concerns are obviously operating motor vehicles and quantities. How much of a quantity are you going to allow somebody to possess? Smoking in public, our canines. So there's so many different variables that need to be looked at.
Among those appointed to the panel is New York State Police Superintendent George Beach. Beach did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Apple says it's good to have law enforcement personnel represented on the panel.
I have slowly but surely tried to slow down our officers from even charging people with UPMs. I mean, listen, UPMs do nothing more, which is an unlawful possession of marijuana. It's a violation. They do nothing more than bog down our courts and usually ruin kids' careers. So I've been deterring my staff for quite some time from those arrests. But again, there's a lot of variables. And listen, I'm torn with this myself for the mere fact that I have seen people start with marijuana and escalate into more dangerous drugs, and that is very concerning for me. But on the other side of that coin, again, I've seen people not be able to get student loans or get thrown out of college or whatever the case may be as well over a very small amount of marijuana. So hopefully we'll be able to find a happy medium.
Sales of recreational marijuana began in Massachusetts July 1st. Albany Police Chief Appointee Eric Hawkins says if he is confirmed by the Common Council, he'll likely lead the department to handle overindulgers the same way officers currently deal with people who have problems with alcohol or other substances.
If it's legalized, then obviously people under certain conditions, they will have an opportunity, a legal right to possess and use. So we may have to change our strategy a little bit and start focusing. We do a lot with mental illness. We do a lot with other substance abuse addictions. We will likely have to shift our focus a little bit to start assisting those who may have addictions with marijuana. And working with some of these social agencies that will undoubtedly develop because of this, and start working very closely with them, because just like an individual who has a legal right to consume alcohol, if they overindulge, it could be a problem. If it becomes an addiction, it could become a problem. It could become a crime problem. And so part of our overall community policing strategy and our philosophy will have to adjust to this.
Cuomo's panel is tasked with compiling a list of recommendations for the legislature to consider when it returns to Albany in January.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Governor Cuomo was in Saranac Lake, New York this week to announce that the Adirondack Village is the latest community to receive state downtown redevelopment initiative funds. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there.
The State of New York's Downtown Redevelopment Initiative, or DRI, is a competitive grant program that provides $10 million to local communities for economic development. In Saranac Lake Tuesday, Governor Andrew Cuomo noted that there had been 105 applicants for 10 grants, one awarded to each Regional Economic Development Council region. The Democrat told the crowd at the Hotel Saranac that the village has won this year's regional DRI grant.
Congratulations. You are first place winners. Congratulations to you. So you did it. And this is just going to keep the momentum going. And by the way, it's not just going to be about Saranac Lake, because this is like dropping a pebble in a pond. And there's concentric circles that go out from it. And Placid is synergizing, Saranac Lake is synergizing, North Elba is synergizing Keene, and that's what we're feeling. So it's not just about Saranac Lake, it's just another big boost for the North Country and everything that's going on in what has been a steady climb towards progress.
Saranac Lake Mayor Clyde Rabideau said for a village of 5,400 people, $10 million can be leveraged for numerous projects and is more than just seed money.
It's do or die money. That kind of money can make all the difference in the world. We're a small community. We're the only community in the Adirondacks, by the way, that received this kind of DRI award. And we're a hamlet zone. So the design of the Adirondack Park is for hamlet zones to be the focuses, the foci of growth and development and population, where we keep our lakes and our mountains pristine. So this really has a dramatic effect within the park.
Empire State Development CEO Howard Zemsky noted that winning communities focus on place-based investment.
So when Saranac wants to expand green space or improve the streetscape or enhance the arts and cultural activities, do more mixed-use development, create more 24/7, 365 concentrated activity. Those are all the kinds of projects that resonate with the committee that's selecting winners. So your project has elements of all of that.
This was the second time Saranac Lake applied for DRI funds. Rabideau listed a number of strategic projects, including moving the Pendragon Theater to the downtown, that are under consideration.
We have a facade program. We have a connector road to enlarge our downtown by the railroad station. Those are just a couple examples. And then if our Pendragon Theater locates where they plan to locate, we want to make that Woodruff Street block to the restaurant sector a major thoroughfare. That's a lot of synergy right there, but that's the kind of strategic planning we've been doing for the last couple of years.
This is the third round of Downtown Redevelopment Initiative funding. The other two North Country communities that have been allocated $10 million grants are Plattsburgh and Watertown.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1832. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.